Herzlich willkommen zum Podcast Ethics and Euros. Sina und Karin von Eukokredit treffen sich auf einen fairen Kaffee mit inspirierenden Talk-Gästinnen aus aller Welt. Beim Geruch der Kaffeebohne bringen sie Meinungen und Generationen zusammen und sprechen darüber, wie Geld sinnvoll eingesetzt werden kann. Und nun viel Spaß mit Ethics and Euros.
Hello and welcome everybody. Nice that you tuned in. My name is Karin Zwissler and I work for Eukokredit in Germany. And as some of you may know, next year is a really special year for us, for Eukokredit, as it's our 50th anniversary. That means that Eukokredit has been active as a social impact investor since 1975. And of course, we couldn't have done that without the support and the trust from our investors. And this is why, in this episode, I want to give the floor to the people who actually invest in Eukokredit. And as I cannot invite all of the 49,000 investors that we have to our podcast, I've invited two. And I'm really glad that they're both here today. One has joined digitally from Spain, and the other one is right in front of me in the studio in Cologne. Yeah, great that you're here. Warm welcome to Adriana Campi and Linda Rustemeyer. Hi.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, hello.
Yeah, good to see you. I'm really glad that you joined me on this podcast episode. We've met before.
Yeah.
We've met on our Eukokredit journey to Peru, which we're going to talk about today as well. But before we dive into this topic, do you briefly want to introduce yourself to the audience that's listening?
I am Adriana Campi from Barcelona in Spain. I work as a manager in an orthodontic master at the University of Barcelona. I'm almost 60 years old. And, I met Karen and Linda and a lot of investors in our coffee journey in May through Peru.
Yeah. Welcome, Adriana. And Linda?
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm Linda Rustemeyer. I'm from Frankfurt, Germany, and I work for university. I'm an e-learning expert and especially doing my PhD in diverse, sensible games, serious games, learning games. And I'm an investor since the pandemic times, and I got to know it. I will talk on later, I guess.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here.
It's a nice teaser. Thanks. I think it's a nice fact that both of you started investing in Eukokredit more or less at the same time. I think Adriana in 2019, Linda 1 year later, so more or less the same. But before we dive into the topic, let's first have a cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because as you may know, if you listen to other podcasts before of Eukokredit, in the first part of the podcast, we always invite our guest to a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. And yeah, the coffee or tea is usually from partner organization of Eukokredit. And this time, Adriana prepared herself a coffee in Spain because she's not here.
Yes. Sadly.
So she's got her own cup of coffee. And I've prepared something here in the studio. It's a coffee from one of our partner organizations. And now I want you to guess, from which country is the coffee? What do you think?
From Peru,
yes.
Of course.
It was too easy.
Maybe from Finca Churupampa or Soli Café Cooperative.
Yeah, of course, I've chosen a coffee that is from one of our partner cooperatives in Peru called Soli Café, and we've visited them together in our Eukokredit journey in Peru. It's a coffee that I bought from GEPA, and it's called Organico Naturmild for all the German listeners. You can find also on our website on eukokredit.de, you can find the list where you have all the products listed where Eukokredit Financiation is in it. And this coffee you find on the list as well. I'm going to serve it and then let's try it, or at least Linda. Adriana, I hope you remember the taste of the coffee when we were together there.
Of course.
The color,
and
the taste.
I remember all the long tasting process we have learned.
Yeah, I'm curious to know, does it taste the same? Of course.
No, for me, it was quite different when we tried it. It felt like it was directly from the field, like handpicked and, of course, all the processes we discovered. But I think this is very harmonic.
So, yeah, it's still really good, yeah?
I remember the coffee, they were really good on one hand, but they had a sourness and they had like different tastes. I could not name all of it, but this smells very harmonic.
Yeah. I think also because this coffee, for example, it doesn't only contain Soli Café, that's one part of it. But of course, there are also other cooperatives that deliver coffee. And of course, it's why the taste probably is different than what we tasted in.
So it's a cuvée.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, the water is an important factor.
That's true. Yeah, that's really true. The water here, of course, is different than the one that we've prepared the coffee with in Peru. Great. Okay, I think that was already a lot of expert knowledge here that you dropped at the beginning. So let's dive into our topic. And I'm really curious to find out more about you as an investor. And one fact that I found really nice about Oikocredit is that there are more women investing in Oikocredit than men. And this is why I've also said I would like to have two women on the podcast. And I would like to have two women from two different countries. And as you were born in the 60s and 80s, two different generations in one podcast, I think it's nice to bring in different perspectives. So yeah, let's discover what kind of differences, but also commonalities we see as we go along. So let's start and kick it off with the Oikocredit journey. For all the listeners who don't know what the journey is, the Oikocredit journey, we've done it this year for the first time. And we wanted investors to have the opportunity to see the impact of their investment with their own eyes. And so everyone was able to apply. And at the end, 18 investors from six countries joined us on the journey to Peru. Yeah, and Linda, Adriana, I'm really curious. What was your goal? Why did you join the journey, the Oikocredit journey?
Shall I start?
Please.
Well, in my case, I had three goals. One was to know the coffee process. We learn a lot, and it's amazing how much work and effort is behind a cup of coffee. The second goal for me was also to see the impact of my investments through Oikocredit. Because for me, to invest in Oikocredit, okay, it was like a fairy tale. And to see that objective, it was very, very interesting. And also, I wanted to know Peru and the Peruvian society, because here in Spain, we had a lot of Peruvian people working.
Nice. I hope that a lot of those goals were fulfilled. Let's give the word to Linda.
Yeah, I can very much agree what Adriana already said, but I would add that my bubble is quite interested in the topic of coffee. And as I got engaged in the voluntary work with Oikocredit in the city of Frankfurt where I live, I did coffee walk and talk, and I discovered through learning more about coffee, I did not know a lot about coffee. And so I was so curious. And the more I gained knowledge, the more questions I had. So it was really for me to discover the conditions, what it means to have coffee in this spectrum, in the supermarkets, in the fair trade area. Everything was quite interesting for me. I was so curious to get to know more about it.
And could you give the framework of the journey? How many days were we on the road? Like, where did we go? Which partners did we visit? Can you give an insight in that?
The 10 days trip was very well organized. We met in Lima, but then we crossed by bus different geographical areas until we arrived in Jaén in Cajamarca region. In 3 days in this Cajamarca region, we visited farmers, cooperatives, financial institutions, coffee shops, restaurants. Well, it was very intensive, very interesting, and very well organized. Also, one interesting thing from this journey is in our lunch or dinners, always somebody from the partners were there. So it was very good to speak to them.
I would add that it was very personal. So we got to know so many people, so many people who are involved in this coffee business or in different areas, that it was really interesting not only to know the producer side, but also we met the people, the children of the coffee farmers who work on at Soli Cafe, for example. It was really interesting to get their everyday life. So mm-hmm. we didn't only see like the business side. We saw so many personal stories and so many life stories, basically, and how they develop through Oikocredit.
The theme of the journey was, I think, Adriana, you mentioned it before, it was a coffee journey. And I think the word coffee has been dropped several times already. The goal was to have the whole journey of the coffee from the bashes to
coffee tastings.
The coffee tastings, yeah, or the export, or like the point where the coffee is being sold. Could you give us a short overview of the process?
Yes, actually it's a long process. It's a very complicated process. First of all, the coffee plants grows in very high mountains between 900 and 2000. In these mountains, the farmers have different lines of coffee bushes. And in the middle, they plant other trees to give shade to the coffee plant. Mm-hmm. When the bean of the coffee is already ripe, it is red like a cherry. The cherry beans, they put in water to see if there are some bad beans. They take the pulp away with the pulping machine, mm-hmm. with a manual machine. And so the first layer, which is the pulp, goes out and the farmers put this bean in water. Then in water, they leave these beans about 12 or 16 hours in order to ferment. Mm-hmm. And after this, they put these beans in flat surface in order to dry them. What mm-hmm. they get is the parchment bean. This is white. This is a white bean. When the bean is already dry, so the farmers take all their parchment beans and they bring these beans to the cooperative. The cooperative check the quality and pay the producer. After this, the cooperative starts a very technical process that consists of separating the bad beans using different techniques and machines. The parchment layer is removed from the white bean, and then the green bean is obtained. And the green coffee is the one that will be exported or sold.
Thank you. You listened really well during the coffee journey. But could you jump in again and tell us how Oikocredit comes into play with the cooperatives? Like, at what point?
Yeah, the financing from Oikocredit is necessary to help bridge a liquidity gap. When the farmers go to the cooperative and give all the production, they are paid immediately and with a good price. But it will take months for the cooperative to receive the money from the export order. During these months, so between the harvest and the receipt by the importer, is when the cooperative needs money. And at this point is when Oikocredit provides financial help.
Yeah, okay, to just support this cooperative so they are liquid and are able to finance the farmers.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You've mentioned already quite some aspects that you liked about the journey, but is there like one thing, one encounter with someone that really stuck in your head, that really made an impression on you?
I think there have been plenty of situations where I was impressed. They have their own processes. Some are really traditional and some are more technical. Mm-hmm. The journey was quite interesting because, in my opinion, we started quite traditionally in San Ignacio.
Which also is in the north of Peru, close to Jaén.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they were all in the north, the farmers we visited. So it started traditionally and it developed kind of more technical and more independent. So I was really impressed by, for example, one cooperative Churupampa, had the opportunity to be independent because they bought some machines. Some of them do all the coffee processes on their own, and some of them give the beans to externs to have this process of the good and bad beans to separate them. They could do it themselves because they had a machine for it. And then at the end of the journey, we also visited a very forward kind of company, which did the separation of the good and bad beans by separating through AI, for example. So it was really interesting for us to see the difference between the traditional separation and the AI separation. So it was a huge difference. When we talk about bad beans, they are mostly separated because the broca bug is kind of an enemy to the farmers. That's why it's so important to have this capacity building by also Oikocredit or the technical service to be able to get rid of the broca bug, which is really difficult because this is the only bug who can eat through the cherry to the bean and to eat or to digest coffee. He destroys millions of kilos of the harvest. And that's why it's really important for the farmers to have a solution for the enemy broca.
You mentioned it before that a lot of their partners that we visited or the farmers, they all told us the same, that this is a huge problem at the moment, and also due to climate change, or that has increased due to climate change.
Yeah, and exactly. The higher you go on the mountains, the less risk you have to have a broca bug, because the broca bug really likes warm climate.
Can I add something?
Of course.
That struck me most was the 90% of the production of farmers, producers, cooperative we visited is for export and not for domestic consumption. For me, we have a West point of view. For us, a cup of coffee is the most normal thing, no? But I realized, and I had no idea, for Peruvians, to drink a cup of coffee is not normal. I asked to a taxi driver, when do you drink coffee? And he told me, oh, only in the parties. And we drink Nescafe, soluble. So that impressed me a lot. And the last visit in Lima was a small roasting company driven by a Dutchman and a Peruvian man that they are trying to say high quality coffee to the Peruvian people.
Yeah, that's something that I also really liked at the last visit, that they explicitly want to keep the beans and a good coffee in the country so that Peruvians also can taste a good quality coffee. And by the way, Soli Café also does the same. Soli Café, it's the coffee that we are drinking at the moment from Gepa, what I just mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. And they also have five different coffees, which they only sell in Peru. So,
but also, we were together, Adriana and I, in the taxi, and he also mentioned that they drink other drinks in the morning. For example, and this was also really surprising for me, that they hardly drink coffee, but I thought it's really interesting that they drink quinoa tea or quinoa hot milk. You call it milk, right?
And other cereals, drinks. Yeah.
So this was also interesting for me because coffee is really nice drink, but still you can have others too.
Yeah, thanks for this addition. That was really important. But now let's jump to a different topic. What I've mentioned before, like, of course, you're two investors of Oikocredit. Linda is investor in Germany and Adriana in Spain. And this is possible because Oikocredit is an international cooperative, which means that we offer the same product in different countries. And yeah, I'm curious to find out, what was your motivation to join Oikocredit? We've heard already you joined at the same time. You didn't know each other back then, but you joined at the same time. How did you find your way to Oikocredit?
Just shortly, it was my aunt, Ellen, greetings to Koblenz. She's a retirement voluntary worker in the fair trade shops in Germany called Weltladen. And she told me that they have some capacities to support Oikocredit. And I was like, oh, what is Oikocredit? I have to know. And then I got to know that my stepfather is an investor, and he told me about it. He told me what he's doing for Oikocredit, and I was really interested. And then I got information about it and became an investor.
Yeah, great. And you've mentioned before at the beginning that you also are a volunteer of OikoCredit. So for all the people who don't know OikoCredit, there is the opportunity to engage with OikoCredit locally. There are around 20 different local support associations, that's how they're called. 7 of them are in Germany and 3 in Spain. And you are, Linda, you are part of one of the, of course, in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And there you do, you mentioned it also before, coffee walk-in talks. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And presentations and yes. Like talk about OikoCredit.
Yeah, we walk around the city. You can also book in advance if you are interested. And since I volunteer in Frankfurt, which is one of the biggest local supporting association, we did it around an area in Frankfurt. And it's about how coffee is imported, about the prices, about the quality, about fair trade. And then we also taste coffee in the end.
Probably also really interesting because you came back as kind of an expert on coffee. So this really, I think this probably influenced your work as well as a voluntary person.
Yeah. Also, we show pictures of our partners and farmers who pick the cherries from the field, which we did, Adriana and I did it. We went on the field.
All of us.
Yeah, all of us. We picked it and we saw it and we saw so much about this process. So we showed this to them and getting to know a real partner was incredible.
And Adriana, how was your way to OikoCredit? How did you find us?
Well, in my case, I came to OikoCredit by coincidence. I was looking for a Catalan institution in order to invest my money. I already had experience investing money in banks, but I wanted a Catalan one. And by coincidence, well, I found OikoCredit Catalunya, which is one of the support association. And when I spoke to David, the person who is in charge, then I realized that OikoCredit was a huge financial institution in the Netherlands. So that's why I trusted him and I put my money in OikoCredit.
Yeah, really glad that you did, and also really glad that you joined the OikoCredit journey. And
I'm very happy to have done this.
And also I've heard that you are also in close contact to David and that you're trying to work together with the support association to set up an event on the Peru on the trip. So that would be really nice to see how that idea goes along, to talk about OikoCredit and the journey. Nice.
Exactly. I hope in the next future I have the opportunity to talk about our experience in Peru.
Now I would like to go to a different topic, which is connected to you two, because you are two women, you are two investors. We've talked already a lot about OikoCredit, about the OikoCredit journey. And now I would like to focus a little bit more on investing in general, on sustainable investment in general, and also about the topic of female finance, of women who invest. Because looking at the data from Germany and Spain, there are fewer women than men who are active in the financial market. I've mentioned before, OikoCredit is an exception because at OikoCredit, more women invest actually than men. But I also think that in the last year, there's noticeable change that more women first start to invest and second also start to invest at a younger age. And I want to use the opportunity as I've got you both here and you are from, two different generations, from the 60s and from the 80s. And I would like to talk with you about that and to get your respective experience from different times. So maybe let's start with you, Adriana. Maybe you can tell me, when did you first get involved in the topic of finance? Was it OikoCredit?
I had already experience with investments, with bank investments, since I was 45 years old, more or less. And, well, in the banks, there is always a person who advises you financially. And when I wanted to invest, this person helped me. And then I think investing is also, it's a matter of experience, of time, of common sense. So with the time, you know better what it works, what it doesn't work, what gives you benefits. And with the time, I had more the preoccupation that my money could help really people, so could have a social or a sustainable impact. For me, it's not important if microcredit doesn't give me benefits back. Mm-hmm. For me, the benefit is that people from South Global really can improve their life. This is the benefit for me, that other people can live better with these little microcredits.
Mm. Yeah, that's why at Oikocredit we usually say that like we give out a financial dividend, but we also give out a social dividend, and that the social dividend always plays a bigger role in our product. So it's good that we've met your expectations in that part. Linda, if you look at your generation, or like our generation, we are like more or less the same generation. What would you say, how do you perceive the topic today? And can you also tell us a little bit, when did you become interested in the topic of financing? Was it Oikocredit or before?
I was becoming more and more a cooperative person in my life, but I always remember that my parents told me to be independent and not to rely on a partner. And for me, it started also with cooperatives in different areas. So before I came to Oikocredit, I was supporting journalism cooperatives, banking cooperatives, living cooperatives. So I live in a cooperative, which is really helping me to save some money to do something with it, to invest it back, because a lot of my friends, they are just investing in their rent. This is an investment in big cities, and I don't think this should be the case. And that's why I really, really believe in cooperatives at all points. And for me, it was, at the age of 17, I became an investor.
Oh, wow.
But forced, because the German government was taxing the retirement higher. So my mom and my dad decided for us children, I have one sister and one brother, they decided that we should invest in our in our future. So I started at 17. I didn't have the money back then, really. So we started really slow. And then I think this forced me to get myself into the subject of finance. And nowadays, I think it starts in our generation when you have the first job, the first real job, and have to think about different things like government support, investments. Like we're in Germany, we are lucky to have this Vermögenswirksame Leistung, it's in German. And nowadays, I think there are quite a lot of interesting financial products, but still, you always discover they are never fully green, we say. So they are never really sustainable. I always wanted that people who are not as lucky as I am have the opportunity to have something from Europe back, because there's a lot of history we have to give something back, so to people who don't have this luck and this fortune we have in Europe.
So you've touched already the point of green investment. It's a nice transition, because I also wanted to talk with you about that, because the market in Germany, at least, it's rising in the last years. Of course, you always have to be aware that not everything that says I'm green is really green. But I'm really curious also to find out about Spain, because I only know a little bit about the market in Germany, but I'm curious to find out how's the market for like real green investments there. Can you tell us a little bit, Adriana?
Yes, I did a little bit of research. The figures are interesting. Sustainable funds in Spain are 34% of the total. And this sustainable investment in Spain is growing up. It's growing up especially thanks to a regulation that came into force in March 2021. This regulation called Sustainable Finance Disclosure Regulation is now in every financial institution. That means that in 2021, the sustainable funds were only 9%, and now, after 2 years, are already 34%, because society is more concerned about social, climate change, all these aspects. And the institutions, at least in Spain, I don't know in the rest of Europe, they have to offer investment according to this sustainable finance disclosure regulation. Mm-hmm. And that's why the money that people spare in this kind of ethic financial in Spain in 10 years is double mm-hmm. high. So okay. I think it's a market that is growing.
I've read also that when it comes to what is really green money, it's always important to see what you define as sustainable. And I think there it goes like into yeah. a broad sense yes. of yeah. what actually is green. And in preparation for this podcast, I've looked up or talked out to a financial expert in Spain. And he told me as well that the market there, like the real green, what we would also define as green market is around 3 billion. And the broader sense is like 300 billion. So it's, completely so different number.
They say light green and dark green.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hope that the dark green really grows in the future. Time's flying. I just checked the clock.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to come to an end. But I want to give you one last question. So imagine a world in which twice or three times as many people invest ethical and a world in which women are financially empowered. What would this world look like? Good.
Yeah, I hope so too. I think things would change. I would say that women make a lot of sustainable decisions. But also on the other hand, I would love that sustainability becomes real, so not just a buzzword. For example, that people are considering in that they have an impact. Mm-hmm. If you take the easiest example, it's to take your coffee cup with you and not to take a coffee to go with a not a sustainable cup, for example, and to change something in your daily life. I think this is part of it, not mm-hmm. just investing, also living sustainability, also to go into new areas. Mm-hmm. So be open for things you have never tried before, of course, with a critical view on it or point of view of it. But I think there are so many opportunities for us, and most of the time we go what we know already. Mm-hmm. And I think like there are a lot of opportunities. I think investment is about living your life with empathy and thinking about tomorrow.
And Adriana, for you, how would the world look like?
As Linda mentioned it, if we have more people investing in ethical investments, I think we will have more solidarity in our society. We will have more fair trade products or less deforestation, more organic products. So everything goes into having a more sustainable world. And if women are financially empowered, I also think we will have a more equal gender world where decisions can be taken by women and by men. Mm.
I really hope that vision comes true, or both of your visions come true. I really like the pictures that you painted. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for taking your time and joining me on this podcast to talk about the journey, about Oiko Credit, but also about sustainable investment. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you also, Oiko Credit and Karen, for letting us get to know the project and the coffee journey. It was so interesting. Thank you so much.
I agree. Thank you to Oiko Credit. Thank you to Karen. And thank you to everybody who organized this marvelous coffee journey.
Thanks for the feedback. I will hand it over to my colleagues. All right, then take care and goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Thank you.
And I am going to give a preview on the next episode. The next episode will be published in December. We will talk about climate justice. The episode will be in German and my colleague Zina will moderate it. So thanks for tuning in and hope to see you again next time. Bye.